Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Set Show.
The world is listening.
Welcome to SNS Sticks and Kicks, your one-stop shop for all the 2014 FIFA World Cup action. And here is your host, the man himself, Mr. Ashley Richardson.
Welcome to SNS Sticks and Kicks. Wait, the intro's already done that. Anyway, so, day 7. Wow. Well, I can officially say we have our first eliminations from this tournament, but most of you that listen to this probably have already watched the football. If you haven't, I won't spoil it, but yeah, we'll go through it. So we start off with the early kickoff, Netherlands versus Australia, and this was a great match. I feel it was rather a shame what happened in this match compared to. Compared to some other matches that have happened. Because other times it's been like one team didn't deserve to win, but they won. And other teams deserve to lose, that sort of deal. Neither of these teams deserve to win or lose, in my opinion. From the performance that they did. So, we first get to about 20 minutes into the first half, and, you know, Australia were on the offensive for quite a bit. But, about the 20-minute mark, Robben took the ball roughly just before the halfway line, got past defender Alex Wilkinson, kept going past all these various players, got to the goal area, slipped in a nice little angled shot and got an absolutely fantastic goal. But then he got even crazier. The ball was back on the, you know, the spot in the middle. And it was kickoff. And after a few seconds, really, the ball went to the wing. And I can't remember who crossed it in, but it was crossed in straight to Tim Cahill, who was in the box. And on the volley, with his left foot, which apparently is his weakest foot, he smacked it in, and it went in off the underside of the crossbar. In what is then, you know, you had two goals there alone from each side, which could be goal of a tournament. They were that good. Possibly goals, I wouldn't say goals ever in World Cup history, but certainly in recent in recent years. You've had two great goals there. Obviously you had Van Persie's and Robin's great goals from the first match against Spain. So we got some good contenders from this group alone. Australia had chances as well through the through the rest of the first half, but didn't manage to take them. But it was Australia that took the lead for the first time after a cross from Bozanic struck Daryl Jammat's hand. And obviously penalty had to be given. And Jedinak slotted home from the penalty spot. But again, within about a few minutes of that, Van Persie put in a nice little goal, controlled the ball, fired it into the top of the goal, and Van Persie apparently has now scored his 11th goal in 10 internationals. That's a ridiculous stat there, but Australia had some then chances again to sort of get the winner. But in the 68th minute, it was Memphis Depay curling a shot in just beyond the reach of the goalkeeper, Ryan. So it could be said that it was a mistake from the keeper, which is harsh because both keepers had good games, even though they did concede, you know, well, Australia conceded three and the Netherlands conceded two, but both keepers had good games, certainly. But yeah, it was a very good match. Van Persie and Cahill both got yellow cards, which means they are banned for their final matches. So obviously Spain will be playing Australia and Netherlands will be playing Chile in that. In terms of the stats, it was equal 50-50. In possession. And in terms of shots, it was actually, no, it's actually Netherlands that did have the most. And the most on target. Nine on target out of 14 shots compared to 4 on target out of 10 for Australia. Attendance was again roughly in the 5,000 short of the actual said to be official capacity. I don't know whether these are actually the official capacities because of the issues that they've had with the stadiums and everything. But overall, I love that match. And then, this is the one that I didn't see live due to other things which I'll be talking about on Sticks and Flicks. Theatre stuff. Spain versus Chile. The match of the day that I said that everybody should watch. I didn't. And, of course, I was an idiot for doing so because we had, well, technically Australia weren't eliminated from that first match, depending on what happened results-wise. But they were officially alongside the world champions. Yeah, the stat means that they're the fifth defending champions to fail to progress from the group stage. But I'm pretty sure, and I might have to get some stats open here, going to my own personal records. I'm pretty sure it's the first time that a World Cup nation has been eliminated, at least in the modern era, after two games. Just going back in the records, I think Italy were knocked out in the first round in 1950 after winning it in 38, but they were in a group of three. So I don't think that's entirely fair to compare. Brazil got knocked out in 1970, but then again, it was only after the third game in their group were they actually knocked out. France 2002, I quickly need to check. this is the stats that I'm trying to go in my head, but I am not aware of in my head any team. Because apparently it's the third time in four World Cups. Because I know France were eliminated in the first round. So I'm guessing that probably means Italy went out early in 2010. Quick to the stats pages. Where is it? Oh, brilliant. They're not even there. Is it? I'm confused now. I'm going to have to... No, I literally am going to have to go somewhere else. Anyway, the match itself was very, very good. You know, it might not have been great for it might not have been great for everything that happened with Spain, but it was still, I think, a good performance and proof that Chile are, should I say, dark horses for this tournament. They did very well. I've always thought that something like that could happen, but I didn't think it actually would, I guess. It was all really done in the first half. Once again, it was really the question of quite a lot of the players. You know, they opened the scoring in the 19th minute with a very poor under-hit pass from Xavi Alonso, which went to Alexis Sanchez, that just did a great little move. That he passed it to Aranguiz and Charles Aranguiz, who then set it up for Eduardo Vargas to score the first. You know, Spain did respond, but they just were never on target. And then the second goal from Aranguiz was, you know, a nice goal as well. But, it's just... it's really... I don't know. I just really don't know how to react to it. They did wonders. Let me see. Oh, brilliant. My stats are completely incomplete. I now look like a complete dunce. Fantastic. And I can't be bothered to go to Wikipedia. But I'm pretty sure in my head, I'll check it out for you tomorrow, that this is the first time a team's gone out after two of their three group matches. But certainly from the performance that they did, and even the Spanish coach, Vicente del Bosque, pretty much said in the interviews afterwards, I think my job and certain other players' jobs might be in trouble. I think he didn't individually single players out, but you know, Casillas hasn't had a great few games. Xavi and Xabi Alonso really haven't done well either. But yeah, it was sort of, it sort of wasn't even shock when the match ended. It was just, yeah, we're out. This is the end of an era, I guess. But, yeah, that sort of is a surprise. Yeah, I mean, apparently in winning Euro 2008, the World Cup 4 years ago, and the European Championships in 2012, they conceded 6 goals. So far, in 2 matches in the World Cup, they've conceded 7. And it's also the first time Spain have conceded 2 or more goals in more than one game for the first time since USA 94. And then after not winning any of their previous 13 World Cup games, Chile have won 4 of their past 6. It's really shown that Chile are a side you may not want to face. And I'm kind of wondering whether, depending on how results go in the final group stage, whether we will be seeing Brazil, possibly, let's say, taking on Spain. Sorry, Brazil taking on Holland, or Brazil taking on Chile. Because either way, I think Brazil could be in trouble. Because from the performances that both Netherlands and Chile have shown, that's a tongue twister. I'd say, at least on current form, Chile would be favourites. I don't know. But yeah, in terms of stats as well, it was actually ridiculous. Spain had 63% of the possession. They had more shots and more shots on target. Chile only had 37%. But I guess in terms percentage-wise, they had 50% of their shots on target. Spain had, 37.5%. So, yes, in one fell swoop, 2 teams knocked out, Spain and Australia. But we weren't done, because we had our final match. Oh, by the way, attendance wise, it was about 4,000 short, which you'd expect it to be full for the Maracana, especially for a South American team. So finally, Cameroon versus Croatia, which sort of was the opposite to all the matches so far in terms of the matches today anyway. Also, arguably, different to all the other matches that have been. Because, you know, Portugal were good. Germany beat them 4-0. Spain were pretty good. Got beaten 5-1. Cameroon weren't brilliant at all. And got beaten 4-0 by Croatia. It was really, I mean, I don't know. This was weird. So, pretty early on, it was, yeah, sort of, it started with the fact that Eto'o, their key player, was injured. And sort of as soon as that happened and you saw this team, you realised, yeah, this didn't happen. So they fell behind already, Cameroon, to Croatia in the 11th minute, as there was a great goal from Evika Olic. It was a lovely pass, but it was, you know, a simple tap in really from Olic, but so just from the pass alone, it was good. Just before the break, just before half time, Alex Song was an idiot. For some reason, he just lashed out at Mario Mandzukic's back when he was tracking him, trying to stop, I guess, to impede him. And the referee was just like, I'm not having this. Red card. Soon in the second half, it was Ivan Persic that got the second with a good run and finish after the Cameroonian Atanji gave away the ball, really. Just a very poor kick from the goalkeeper. Just a really poor kick. It just went straight to the Croat team. Then Mandzukic, he was banned because of what happened in the World Cup qualifiers, he was banned for the opening game. He got in a very good header from one of Pranjic's corners. And that was, I'm going to have a look, that was in the 61st minute. And then in the 73rd minute, there was a quick, well, Eduardo did a rather easy, rather tame shot, really, to the goalkeeper of Cameroon, Atanji. And he could only push it straight to Mandzukic. And Mandzukic promptly put it in the goal. So, yeah, it was already 4-0. It was already done. You could call it, over. But then, as if it couldn't get any worse for Cameroon, for some reason, I don't think this was caught by the officials, but I don't know whether there'll be any retroactive punishments. During an argument in stoppage time in the second half, Benoit Asuikoto basically headbutted his own teammate, Benjamin Mukanjo, during an argument. And that was, headbutting each other in your own team. And amazingly, there was no sending off or anything. There wasn't even a booking for it. So, Cameroon are gone. In terms of stats, it's not entirely, well, it's sort of a surprise because the stats were actually 58% for Croatia and 42% for Cameroon. I don't have any of the men of the matches for this one, but I'd have thought on paper, probably Robin or Van Persie probably got it for Holland. I'll give you the stats tomorrow, but I'm having to get an early night. Chile, probably Sanchez or the goal scorer. I can't remember. I ain't got his name in front of me anymore. They'll probably be man of the match. And for a Croatia, it's probably going to be Mazdatic, sorry. just trying to quickly see if I can get the attendance, because I guess the page that I've got here hadn't been updated with the attendance, but by the time I refreshed it, because I had the report up with only a few hours of the thing happening. Of course, it could be that it just broke. So we'll just have a quick look at that. But yeah, that means, yeah, Cameroon are gone. And technically, they do have a chance, I will say. No, apparently there is no record of the attendance. This is great. All these stats and they're not being efficient. I don't know. Certainly, you know, possession was surprisingly even. 58 to Croatia, 42 Cameroon. But in terms of, you know, it was even on shots, I'd say. But in terms of shots on target, it's rather telling that Cameroon only had two, Croatia had nine. I think that tells you all you need to know. It's brilliant. Just looking at the notes underneath, there is no note of the actual headbutt happening between the players. But, yeah. We're not even into the second week just yet. We will be tomorrow. And we say goodbye to three teams. So tomorrow, big one. First up, we have Colombia versus Ivory Coast. So again, this is a case of both teams who won their opening group stage matches going on to their second game, obviously trying to keep the momentum going and get another win to ensure their place in the next round. Then we've got England-Uruguay with a case of whoever doesn't win is realistically out. I would say if it's a draw, realistically, both teams are going to be out. That's what I would say. It's a must-win for both sides. It's already confirmed, 24 hours before, pretty much, that Suarez is going to be playing, even though he isn't said to be in, top form. It's just a case of, I guess, Uruguay doing what they can to make sure they don't go out early. It should be the first time in quite a few World Cups. Because they did well in 06 and they did well in 2010. So, I don't want to say too much about it because knowing all the hype that I'll give it, England will probably lose it. And then Japan, Greece. I'm tempted to say England, Uruguay's match of the day, but I'd actually give a shout out to Japan and Greece because that could be a very good match. And just in a different style. And also because apparently the BBC radio coverage over here has some sort of hatred for Japan. Because their match last Saturday with them facing the Ivory Coast didn't get any radio coverage on the BBC. And seemingly, because of everything that they want to talk about with the England match after it's happened, it means that there won't be full coverage of the Japan-Greece match either. So I honestly hope that Japan win, so the Japan-Colombia game actually might get covered. No, I'm just putting it out there. That's the run-through, I guess, for day 8. We will be crossing into our second week of competition tomorrow. But you can check out all the other shows here on the network. You've got Unplugged coming up tonight, because of when this will probably get put up, at 9 Eastern. I can tell you that certainly the recording of Sticks and Kicks for tomorrow will happen after Unplugged's done, because I'm not missing that. It depends how busy my schedule is. I guess there is enough in the hour-long window. As long as I can get accurate stats and everything. So, yeah. This Thursday, tomorrow, today, whatever, 9 p.m. Eastern, Bronx and Jeff, with, I guess, the one-year anniversary special. You'll also... Well, it's usually on Tuesdays at 9, so that'll be back to that next week. Sunday Night Showdown coverage coming next Sunday for Money in the Bank. And then podcasts. You've got Sticks and Flicks with me. The whole indie show with myself, Randy and Sandro. Get in the Zone with Bronx, Anthony and L-Train. The Elite Force podcast with Walkie, Mindwipe and Chuck W. Unplug CT, V Conspiracy Theories with... Bronx and Jeff, Running the Ropes with Mav, and Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman. So we are done. We started with 32, and we're now down to 29. Will anybody else... Well, realistically, because of results, somebody else will fall tomorrow. Who will it be? Knowing my luck, it'll be England.
Samba